Good morning. How is everyone this morning? And Jesus welcomes every one of you here. How many of you are kind of wanting spring to come? I am. Boy, I sure am. Can't believe how the weather has stayed pretty cold, hey, for this deep freeze that we're in. I can't believe how much. We Kathy and I heat our house by wood, and I can tell you that we go through a pile this February. It's just kind of, we just noticed, just went, and it's like, yeah, it's quite a winter. But spring is going to be here fairly soon, I would say, in what, about 3 weeks or something? Ha, 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 ha. Ha, I could hear sort of the sarcasm in that, right? But somebody in the peace country we were living for a while said spring always comes. It may be late, it may be early, but it does come. And so it's going to come fairly soon. So we're looking at prayer again this morning. We'll look at a life of prayerfulness, Matthew 7. And this will be the last one on prayer that I'm going to do. And then I got a couple other things that have been on the back burner for quite some time and been kind of stewing over them, thinking them through. And I'm going to figure out which one I want to speak on next week. So I'll just pray for me and as God lays on my heart what he wants you to hear. So I want to begin by don't do that, right? So I'm going to read a little devotional book I got. It's called The Power of the Cross by Charles Stanley. And in it, he says, accepting the answers to your prayer. And I'm going to read the two verses, then I'm going to read his little devotional he has in it. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the little devotional he has here, we always say that God always answers in three ways, but actually it's four ways God answers. Okay, kids are gone. Everybody else? Anybody else want to join them? How many want to be a kid today? There's some days I would love to be a child again, a kid again, eh? No worries about anything, right? So, not unless we do something wrong, then we got to answer to somebody. So, anyways, what it says here, God answers prayers in one of four ways. Yes, child, you may have it. No, child, this is not good for you. Wait, child, I have something better. And this is the one that we really don't like to hear, you and myself included. My grace is sufficient for you. Nowhere in scriptures does it say that God will give us exactly what we ask for every time. He is sovereign. He has the right to say no according to his infinite wisdom. And oftentimes, God is up to something, and we don't even know about it. And sometimes we won't know about it until where? We're in his presence, and then it'll be real to us why we went through that time, or why he didn't answer, or to make us wait. All right. So we're going to look at Matthew 7:7-11, if you do have your Bibles or your little electronic thing or whatever. You read it off the screen as well. Matthew 7:7-11. It says, keep on praying, and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Father, we just thank you for your word. Just be with us as we learn today what this passage says, and let us catch a glimpse of your heart and your love to us and what we need to hear as well. In thy name, amen. This chapter actually opens, if you actually go back to the very first part of this chapter, verses 1-6, Jesus is teaching or has shown the danger of destructive judgment and criticism. He has exposed the danger of harboring bitterness and hatred in our hearts. That's what he dealt with in the first verses of this chapter. And then he just goes right from that right into prayer. And he moves away from that subject of judgment and criticism. And I think he did it on it for a reason. There has to be a reason why he did it. I'm trying to still work it through my mind. Maybe you know the reason. Maybe if a life of prayerfulness will help us not to be judgmental and critical, because our hearts are already in tune with him. And so the passage we have read talks about the subject of prayer. And there are three aspects of a life of prayerfulness that we need to look at this morning. The first one is intensity in prayer. Verse 7 says, "Keep on asking, and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened." And of course, Luke records the same words, except for he changes a few things about what they give to the children. That's the only difference, but it's exactly the same, and that's found in Luke chapter 11. In each passage, you'll actually find these words. Keep on asking. How many of you guys got children? Grandchildren? Someone's going to have grandchildren pretty soon, right? Somebody's smiling. But they always ask questions, right? Asking. Right? Keep on looking and keep on knocking. So we see a progression in the intensity of praying. Looking, asking, looking, knocking. Let's begin by looking at requesting in prayer. Verse 7, like I said, it says, keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Very simple form of prayer. Just ask. Last Sunday, we looked at how we approach God in prayer. And we looked at God because he is above us. He is holy. He lives in unapproachable light. And in the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, he gives how we're to approach our Father. And one thing we need to understand, well, we need to have him, his Son, as our Savior. And therefore, we have a relationship into his presence. And therefore, we can bring our prayer requests. We keep on asking him. He doesn't mind. He wants to hear our requests. Then over in Psalms 24, 3 for 6, it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up their soul to an idol or swear by what is false. And they will see blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob." So there's our hearts have to be clean. Our lives have to be pure, holy. There is a requirement to enter into his presence. And there is more involved in the intensity of prayer as well. We're to come in the name of Jesus. In John 14:14, Jesus said, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And when I was putting this together, there was this little old hymn that we used to sing. Some of you probably remember it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, we can come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, we have to remember it's not some magical formula. Not like the little wand we give to our girls, our daughters, and they go around abracadabra, figuring they're going to turn some guy from a toad to a prince, right? How we attach to our prayers to get God to answer them. We only approach God according to his will. And to ask God, we need to ask in the name of Jesus. That means that we ask what he would want us to ask. What would please him and what would bring him glory by furthering his work. To mention the name of Jesus is to have access to our Father in heaven. We need to use his name. In 1 John 5, it says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So we need to ask in his name. All power is in the name of Jesus. And we know that because we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. So now let's look at the researching in prayer. Verse 7 says, keep on knocking and you will find. How many of you have ever done research papers in school? And do you like them? Somebody's already shaking their head. No. Good. Somebody's honest, right? Some of us who've gone on into university know what it's like to do a 40-page research paper. And then it's just not for that one class. It's for four other ones. A lot of work involved. And when you research, you are looking for the answer to a certain question that you want answered or what the teacher gives to you. You examine all the evidence, and then you put it all together and come to a conclusion. A lot of work involved. Seeking is a deeper level of praying than just asking. Some things are very clear to us, and all we have to do is ask. We know what they are. We know that we can bring them to our Father and he'll answer them. But at other times, our prayers require a lot of research. And when you do a lot of research, it requires a lot of looking, digging around. In asking, we're more concerned with the daily desires that God wants to meet our needs. But in seeking, it's much deeper. We're looking for answers for those real deep needs in our lives. That there is no, we feel there's no answer to them at all. In Romans 8, it says these words, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he searches our hearts. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So this verse tells us that there are times that we don't know how to pray. There are times we just groan and moan. But isn't it wonderful to know that the Spirit can take those groans and moans and make them words and speak them to the Father? He helps us. Sometimes prayer is real intense. It requires a lot of seeking. I was so thankful that he had given us the Holy Spirit to help us in those times. A lot of searching. But the answer says, search and you will find. Keep on searching. Keep on searching. I want to look at resistance in prayer. Verse 7 says, keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Of course, this speaks of fellowship with God. The whole concept of knocking at the door implies a desire for entrance into fellowship. All of us have front doors and back doors to our houses, right? And they're there for a reason. Number one, to keep the weather out, keep the bugs out, keep the animals out, and give you lots of privacy. If you come to my house and knock on my door, hopefully I will open it for you, right? That indicates what? Fellowship. I want you to come in. I want you to enjoy our time together. But sometimes a door speaks of a barrier, a hindrance, something that's been put up so you can't enter in. And it has to be removed. And sometimes in our prayer life, it's not that God puts the barrier up. We put it up. We put it up. And what would some of these barriers be? Well, let's look at one of them. Self. Self-resistance. James 4, 2 through 3 says, reminds us that selfishness can close the door of heaven. Put a barrier there. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you're asking with wrong motives. and that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Sometimes when we come to the Father, we come with the wrong motives. We come seeking what we want. And sometimes we put it up there because we just don't want to talk. But we have to remember that we who are born again must die to self. Self must be removed. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are to put self aside. Sometimes self has placed itself on the throne of our life and removed Christ. We need to remove ourselves. Also, too, how about sinful resistance? In Psalm 66:18, it says, I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And then in Isaiah 59:2, it says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So sometimes there's sin in our lives, and that puts a barrier up between us and God, and also too in our prayer life. Sometimes the sin is directly against God, and sometimes it's directly against others as well. Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and present to your offering. So if there's sin in the way, if sin is a barrier, make sure you get that all straightened out. And here's something else, too. These are for some of us who are married. Guys, how many of you are married? Here's something you think about, too. Do you know what else could hinder your prayer life? The way you treat your wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it says these words. Let me just find it here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So make sure, guys, that your relationship with your wives isn't a barrier as well. Keep that in mind, all right? And of course, if it's against God, well, you need to deal with it. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wrong. So we need to take care of our sins in our lives. Whatever it is, seek it out and find it and deal with it right away. The next one is satanic resistance. All right, we have to consider that sometimes when we pray, he comes along and tries to destroy that and also places a barrier up as well. Ephesians 6 reminds us that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we also know in that same chapter that he also sends fiery arrows at us. Constantly we're under attack. Even Daniel encountered this in his prayer as well in Daniel chapter 10. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in here Daniel is praying. He has humbled himself to find an answer to his prayer. And down in verse, just a little ways down, probably verse 11, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withholding me. So this angel that was to give him an answer was being withheld for 21 days. All right. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left there with the king of Persia. So there could be also satanic. Satan could be involved in why there's a barrier in our prayer life. He's very cunning. He works tirelessly to discourage us from praying. And at times hinders the answer to our request and sometimes hinders us even in our prayer time as well. So we have to keep that all in mind. Ephesians 6:18 It says, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. So the power of the Holy Spirit, that must dwell in us. You must stay alert, always alert. And within the life of prayerfulness, there must be a consistency in prayer. Verse 8 says, everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. So prayer is an exercise that doesn't just last for a moment or just for special occasions. Prayer is to be a habit of the Christian life, which never ceases. Jesus said this in Luke 18:1, that we should always pray and not give up. Always an attitude of prayer. In the light of our afflictions, our hardships that we deal with, the situations that we are going through, we are to be those who are marked by a consistency of prayer. We're to keep asking. We're to keep seeking, and we're to keep looking. So let's look at consistency in our activity of prayer. We read in Acts 2:42 that the early Christians were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And if we were to spend time in Acts, you will find that this was always going on. There was always this consistency of prayer in the church life and then within the believers as well. In Acts 1:14, I don't have those up on the screen, the disciples came and met in the upper room. It says, all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. So they're in a prayer meeting, constantly praying. And of course, we find in Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, a prayer to God continually. The church prayed for Peter's release. Some of us know that story quite well. It says in Acts 12, verse 5, that the church prayed for him, and these prayers were fervently given to God by the church. And then in Acts 13:3, the church at Antioch, they fasted and they prayed, and then they laid hands on Barnabas and Saul, and then they sent them away. A time of prayer, all the time. The consistency in the activity of prayer is critical to the growth of the church and to the health of the church as well, and to each one of us as well. None of us can grow spiritually unless we have a life of prayer. Let's look at consistency in our attitude of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So here we have a verse that says that we are to always be in an attitude of prayer. Always to be in an attitude of prayer. But I know it's not easy to do. I don't think we can spend all our days praying, right? Get up in the morning and just start right to the end, just pray, 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 pray all the time. Probably impossible for us to do it. But we are to be in the spirit of prayer at all times. It is realizing his presence with us wherever we may be, yielding ourselves continually to him to do his will. Whenever there is an inward attitude of continual prayer, when our spirit is in this attitude of prayer, it will always be expressed in our vocal praying. Prayer is not natural to us. We're to work at it, cultivate it, develop it, so that when we experience difficulties in our life and barriers that have been put up there, we can pray when we feel like it. We can pray when we don't feel like it. And we can pray until we feel like it. We have to be this whole attitude of prayer. And within the life of prayerfulness, there must be expectancy in prayer. All of us would like to know the answers to our prayers. All of us do. All of us do. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, which of you, if your child asks for bread, and give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, will give them a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. Kind of interesting passage. What does this have to refer to in our prayer life? Well, the first thing we need to understand is we need to look at the fatherliness of God. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, isn't God going to give us good gifts as well? This is one of the most comforting teachings in God's word, is the fatherhood of God. As believers, we have this open door to go into God's presence. He is our Father. In a relationship that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. John 1, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. And then in Galatians, it also says, you are sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. One thing we need to know, if God is our Heavenly Father, then all things are well. And we know as earthly parents, when our children asked us for stuff, came into our presence, do we give them what they asked for? Not all the time, right? But we gave them what they needed. And just as a child comes to their earthly father expecting an audience, expecting acceptance, and expecting an answer, and so can we have the similar expectation of our Heavenly Father as well. Now let's look at the faithfulness of God. We find this in verses 9 through 10. Which of you, if your child asks for bread, you'll give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, you'll give them a snake? I kind of looked at that and thought, well, it's a good thing God doesn't make mistakes, right? Jesus illustrates when a child asks their father for something, the father does not give them something totally different. But what is Jesus teaching? And I dug into this a little bit this week, and I discovered some things. If you go to Israel, there are limestone rocks that look like, in fact, they're the exactly same shape and color of a loaf of bread, just the one that could sort of fit in the palm of your hand. So if you actually picked it off the ground and said to someone, oh, here's some bread, they could mistake it for it. That's how close it looked. Certain fish are similar to an eel or a snake or a serpent. And a small egg, that's what Luke talks about, had a close resemblance to a poisonous scorpion when that insect is at rest with its claws and tails folded up. So when you looked at it, it looked like an egg. Jesus says, even with the close resemblance of a loaf of bread to a stone, of a fish to an egg, or of an egg to fish to an eel, I should say, and an egg to a scorpion, an earthly father would never make the mistake. He would know which ones were correct. How much more will your Heavenly Father be faithful in giving you what is good to those who ask him? He's going to make sure you're going to get what you want. He's not going to give you something totally different. What an encouragement is this to our life of prayerfulness. And as Jesus' disciples said, let us take these words, let them be part of our prayer life. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And as I was putting this together too, I was thinking of that old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many remember that old hymn? Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm going to read it as I close. Because the very last verse of it, it really struck me when I was going through it. It says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Second stanza says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bless I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where my God, my Savior, shows his face and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, Thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. In the last stanza, it says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, when I thy consolations share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty heights. And that's referring to Moses. When God showed him the promised land, he could see it just before he died. That's what that's referring to. I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Someday we won't have to pray. We'll be in his presence. And we'll be able to enter into his presence continually. Prayer. Let's cultivate it today. Someday we're going to be in his presence. Wouldn't you like to know him even better? Just why don't we start today? Time of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word and what it reveals about you. You ask us to ask. You ask us to look. And you ask us to seek. And Father, sometimes too that we throw barriers up. Sometimes they're just selfish stuff, sinful stuff, and sometimes Satan attacks. But Father, allow us to live a life, a continuous prayer, in the spirit of it, so that we can pray at all times. And Father, and as we pray, reveal to our hearts the expectancy that you will answer us according to thy will and to thy love and to thy grace. In thy name, amen. And we're going to ask some of the board members to come up. Ryan, Paul, Jake, you want to come up? And Steve, come on up. I'm just going to move this out of the way here for a second. And I have as I begin their time of communion, I do have a little slide I wanted to show, but it's okay. I'm going to read a poem I pulled from a book I have of Christian literature. I don't know who wrote it, but the person who wrote this wrote it for themselves. I guess Brian, just wait for him. And as I read it, I want you to read it along as well. If you want to read it out loud or just to yourselves. But this really speaks. Go ahead. Thanks, Steve. He says he died for me, my Savior. He, the Lamb of Calvary. Upon the cross he set me free. It was there he died to ransom me. In heaven now for me he intercedes, and soon he will come again for me. In clouds my bridegroom will come, and then forevermore I will be with him, my Lord, eternally. O glorious day, eternity, with him forevermore. What beautiful words. Your Savior, my Savior, the Lamb of Calvary. Upon the cross he set us free. He died for us. He ransomed. And now in heaven, he intercedes for us. And someday soon, he's going to come again. Are you waiting for him? Are you looking for him? Are you watching? He'll come at any moment. And then forevermore, we will be with him for all eternity. What a wonderful day that will be. And we'll be in his presence forever. And I just want to read the passage of Scripture that we found in 1 Corinthians. And it talks about the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If I understand, this is gluten-free bread that if you have problems with flour and whatever, you can. Okay. Let's just pray, shall we? Steve, and since you're going to take off, we'll get you to pray, all right?
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would bless this bread, the bread that represents your broken body, as what Joe just read, as you interceded for us. You paid the price that we deserve. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to understand how serious this is and how joyous this is as we celebrate the gift that you gave us in your name.
He just took the bread that night and he broke it. His body, which was broken for you and I. Let's eat this in remembrance. And Ryan, you want to pray?
Father, we just come before you humbly this morning, Lord, and think of the incredible sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, on our behalf, for our sins, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Lord, and just pray, God, that we would understand the seriousness of what you did for us, Lord. And we just thank you for your shed blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary, Lord, that we could have forgiveness, Lord, and have communion with you, Lord. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And he also took the cup. And he says, this cup represents my blood. Jesus died for us. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. Let's drink this in remembrance of his shed blood. Father, we just thank you. For your son. You loved us so much. You sent him to die for us. What wonderful love, glorious love. And Father, as we go from here, let us take that message to those that we meet throughout this week. And Father, as we gather upstairs in the fellowship hall up there, I pray that you would just bless our time. Bless the food and bless those that have made it. And so be with us now, Father, as we go, that we go in your name and take the name of Jesus wherever we go. In thy name, amen. And I believe, Ryan, you want to stay up front and pray? So Ryan has said he'll stay up front here if you want to come and for time of prayer. All right.